You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
You're listening to Stage Door Podcast, the podcast celebrating theatre and creativity from onstage mishaps to career-defining moments.
Hosted by thespians myself, Tori, and co-host Eliza. Fortnightly, we will bring you industry professional guests, deep dives, and more. Hello and welcome back to Stage Door Podcast. Today is a very special day as this is our first deep dive episode of the new season, which of course means we are joined by our deep dive correspondent, Gareth Isaac. But before we get started, we would like to acknowledge the Thirawal people of the Eora Nation.
And the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, the traditional custodians of this land on which we work, live and record, and recognise a continuing connection to land, water and community. We acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded.
Hello friends, I'm back.
Hello Gareth, welcome back to the podcast. This is our first episode with you for the season, so that's pretty exciting.
I know, isn't it wonderful? It's so lovely to be back and talking musical theatre nerdery.
But I guess before we get started though, how is everyone? What's everyone been up to?
Well, I mean, I'll kick off, I guess. I'm doing Greece. I'm going to date the episode. We're in our last 3 weeks here in Melbourne before I get a nice relaxing week off. I don't have to hand jive for 7 days. And then we kick off at the Capitol Theatre in Sydney.
So by the time that you hear this episode, you will have kicked off at the Capitol Theatre in Sydney and you'll be back. You'll be back with me.
Hell yeah, baby. Back to Sydney.
It's so awesome. I mean, we got to see you at the opening in Melbourne, which was so fun.
Yeah, it was wonderful. It was so nice to have you both there.
Oh, it was awesome. It was so good to see you on the stage and like, gosh, Greece was so good.
Greece is a lot of fun. I think audiences in Sydney are going to have the time of their G-dang lives.
Yeah.
It seriously is so good. And like, I don't know if I would say it's like a reimagining, but it kind of is. It feels like they've like a created, and I was saying this to Annalise, I feel like it's a whole new musical.
It's a refreshing take on an old classic. It's like, this is going to be the dumbest simile on earth. It's like Vanilla Coke. We are the Vanilla Coke of musicals, and I'm okay with that. We're still the taste you love, but with a nice little twist. And that twist is Annalise Hall, Joe Spanti, Keanu Gonzalez, and Mackenzie Dunn.
Oh, aren't they fabulous? And you.
They're our four leads. Oh, yes, I'm also involved. I'm also involved. Eliza, I believe you've had a significant life update as well. What's that little piece of jewellery I see on your left hand?
I got engaged, so that was pretty fun.
I scream.
Literally last week, I got engaged, which was just crazy. Oh my goodness. My whole family surprised me. I got surprised by the whole thing. It was at the Botanical Gardens. Of course, I said yes, so that's exciting.
It'd be so awkward. You're like, I said no, but I got to keep the ring.
Yeah, if you were this cheerful about turning down the proposal, I'd be a little concerned.
Exactly. But you know what was so funny though? When we were doing the proposal, so he didn't really like say all of his speech because he got too nervous when we first said it. Tori is already laughing because Tori knows where this is going. But he was too nervous to say his speech when he was proposing. So I was, after we'd said hello to all my family, I'd said yes. While we were still there, he says, Tori and Taylor, no, and Ashley, all your friends. How about we call Tori? And then Tori didn't answer.
I was at work. I would like to preface this. Okay, hang on. Wait.
Okay.
You were 2 hours late.
I was 2 hours late
to your engagement.
I was. I
planned my lunch break. Like, Rodney and I like had it planned. I was like, okay, I'm going to want lunch at 1. That gives me half an hour for like, you know, like, even if it's like the last like 2 minutes of my break. But I got a text from Rodney saying, so she's late, right as my break was about to end. And I was like, I can't have my phone on me while I'm at work. So I was like, what do I do? So I kind of was just like desperately checking my phone, waiting, and nothing happened. Of course, I walked away for like 2 seconds to help a customer. And that's when the phone call came through.
This actually tracks.
It really does. And so I called Tori and then I was like, oh, well, Tori hasn't answered. Oh, can you tell me your lovely speech while we're standing here? So the camera's rolling, right? He's got someone, one of his family members filming, and he's telling his speech that he didn't get a chance to speak. And then Tori calls 3 times during the speech. And he has his Apple Watch on, and so it goes off every time. And every 5 seconds, we'd be like, sorry, Tori, back to the speech, back to the lovely speech. Oh, sorry, Tori. Oh, so back sorry. To the lovely speech. And there's a video of it, and it's so funny.
Fuck me, but... running. Are you kidding me?
I was like, no, I've missed it. I've missed the call. So I was like, it was like maybe 2 minutes later. I was like, if I call back.
Oh my God.
Go through. No, I know.
Anyway,
I was just like, keep doing this. I'm going to cringe myself into a black hole.
We got there eventually.
So anyway, I really appreciated the love. And I did get to talk to Tori eventually after that. But it was a beautiful weekend. And yeah, so I got engaged. That was kind of crazy.
Congratulations.
That's my big news. Yeah.
We did it.
We did. How have you been, Tori? What's new with you?
I've been good. I've been very busy. I guess my biggest update is I left my full-time job as a bookseller. I still work there one day a week at Harry Hartog because I love it there so much. It's such a beautiful place to work. But I decided that this year, the year of our Lord and Saviour 2024, that I wanted to pursue performing full-time. So I have stopped working full-time in retail, which is like such Ooh. A win. I now, crazily enough, work from home part-time as a podcast producer for another podcast.
Hell yeah.
So I guess when that becomes a thing, I'll let you guys know. Don't think it will be something that anyone here will really particularly be interested in. I'll be honest. It is fitness related.
Are you implying that I am unfit?
I'm not implying that you're unfit. I'm implying that you might not want to do an obstacle course race.
Never doubt Gareth and I. We will always
Everyone
support.
Saw Gareth's reaction.
Yeah, look, I've been doing the hand jive 8 times a week. I've been running up and down those bleachers at Rydell High. My legs are so strong.
All right, well. Picton Spartan Races in April, 5Ks, 20 obstacles. Want to come along and do it with me?
Yeah, great. Let's go. As long as the obstacles are like not much higher than my knees, I should be fine.
That shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, no, they're definitely not. There definitely is like you got to pull yourself up a rope and you got to climb over the shit. And
okay, I'll sit and watch you both. I'll be there. Support. if you want to go, you go.
Yeah, I think you messed up a little bit in saying that because now like I've got an expectation.
As long as we keep someone on the side with like water and Ventolin, I'm gonna be fine.
look, I plan to die during the race.
Respectfully, so, like, pass away. Yes.
Yeah,
you have to attempt every obstacle. However, you do not have to, like, if you try and pull yourself up the rope and you're like, I cannot physically do that, you don't have to do the obstacle, but you have to do something else. You have to, like, do burpees or squats or something.
Okay, great. So it's like every musical theatre dance class I ever did. Wonderful.
Can I also just say, Eliza and I both had 6 auditions this past week, which, A, massive clap on the back for us for getting into the room for that, because that was not easy. I don't know about you, Eliza. I couldn't walk for a solid day after that audition. I'm not kidding. Stacia and I went to the ballet on Tuesday night. We were up in the back in the top level of the Capitol. I felt like I could not walk up and down the stairs. Eliza's gonna be like, I was fine.
No.
The stairs at the Cap are unforgiving at the best of times as a former Choc Top salesman. Like, I can't imagine after a dance audition.
Well, and there was so much squatting involved with that dance audition that I was not expecting. Everything else was fine.
One of the songs is literally called Get Down. What are you expecting?
And it wasn't even Get Down that you had to get down. Can I just say?
It wasn't even in Get Down. It was in All You Want to Do.
Oh, no.
And I was like, wow, all right, here we go. Here's the squatting.
Anyway, that is a little bit of a life update from all of us. We're all doing well. We're all thriving. It's 2024. Eliza, do you want to kick it off?
Yes. So today we'll be talking about possibly the most accessible form of musical theatre, the movie musical. From adaptations to original pieces, the movie musical has served as a gateway to our most beloved art form for nearly a century, dating all the way back to the late 1920s, when sound recording was being incorporated into films. In 1927, the first movie musical, Al Jolson's The Jazz Singer, premiered and was an immediate smash hit and paved the way for at least 74 musical films to be released over the next 2 years, 72 of which were released in 1929.
The trend towards including music in films allowed popular composers and performers of the day another avenue to share their work outside of Broadway. Composers like Cole Porter, George Gershwin, Irving Berlin, stage stars such as Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire, and choreographers and directors like Busby Berkeley all leapt at the chance to experiment with the new medium. This also allowed animators like Walt Disney to expand their horizons with the first American-made feature-length animated film Snow White and the Seven Dwarves premiering to critical acclaim in 1937.
With the advent of the book musical on Broadway in 1943 with Oklahoma, many movie musicals began emulating the shifting sensibilities and became less vehicles for popular songs and more dedicated to telling a story through song, or at the very least adapting stage musicals that would follow the trend Oklahoma began. If we were to name every single movie musical, we'd absolutely be here all day, and we're all very busy people, but the medium has brought to life some incredibly notable examples, such as Rent, Moulin Rouge, Singin' in the Rain, Funny Girl, and every single Disney animated feature since the 1930s. Modern movie musicals are still being produced, with both Mean Girls and Wicked receiving musical film adaptations in 2024.
Can I just say, I didn't realise that Wicked was going to be in two parts.
Oh, really? You didn't see that?
No, I was unaware of it until I watched Catherine Steele do a reaction to the trailer. And she was like, oh, and that's, I assume, where like part one will end and then part two will pick up. And I was like, excuse me?
Yeah, I think the general assumption is that they're going to be creating new material because Stephen Schwartz is directly involved. Number one, it's a pet peeve of mine I'll come back to later, movie musicals creating new songs for reasons. But there's a lot of scuttlebutt going around that they might be expanding the story and pulling more from the OG novel of Wicked to allow for further expansion of the world, which I think is really cool because there's a lot of bits in that novel that never get touched on. Like the fact that Dr. Dillerman gets shot in the head.
Wait, what?
Yeah, you guys should read Wicked. It's wild.
Oh my God.
Which I have read Wicked a very long time ago. I feel like when I first saw Wicked for the first time, which was many moons ago, but I feel like also a point of contention with Wicked, the movie musical, that I'm so incredibly scared for, and I feel like every theatre person across the world is scared for, is the fact that we don't know who is playing Dr. Dillman.
He's not seen
in the trailer. It has not been mentioned. We're so scared that it's going to be a revival of Cats.
Oh,
and James Corden
will play James Corden away from it, please.
Oh, is that what people are scared of?
Yes.
Yeah, people are so scared that it's going to be James Corden, or it's going to be like something ridiculous.
He was already rotten in Into the Woods. He was already rotten in Cats. Every movie musical the man touches turns to garbage. Leave it alone.
Ooh. I didn't notice that. I feel I did notice, I mean, one thing that we were going to talk about today, which is kind of a good segue to, is the whole Mean Girls Wonka. A lot of these new musicals that aren't actually showing that they're musicals in the trailer. Because Wicked kind of did, like, you get the riff at the end, but you don't really get anything throughout. You can see that there's obviously dancing and things, but I don't know, to maybe the average viewer, they wouldn't know that it's like fully a full-blown musical.
Yeah, I completely agree. You got the most notable riff of notable riffs at the end of the trailer and the occasional like whispered echoey lyric of Defying Gravity through the trailer. That's not enough to clue into the hoi polloi that this is a Broadway show being given a filmic life. And internet comments, garbage fire though they are reflecting that. They're saying, wait, what's that song playing in the background? Why is she screaming at the end of the trailer? I don't get it. It's a little funny. And then there's people trying to explain it in the comments. And it's just like, this musical's been around for 20 years, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, that's exactly, you know what? I went and saw Mean Girls the musical at the cinema. And the chick selling me the ticket literally said, I just want you to be made aware that this is a musical. So apparently, and then we had this full-blown conversation that apparently all these people have been really angrily leaving the theater or asking for refunds because they had no clue that they were in for a musical. So now they have to actually tell people before they see a musical movie that it is a musical and not just the movie Mean Girls or the movie Wicked or the movie Wonka, which I think is so funny.
I get that they should be advertising much more in trailers. I think especially that they are about musicals, and we should also be able to get a taste of what to expect. Mm-hmm. But A, people should not be angry that it's a musical. Like, right. It's camp as fuck. Just, like, get over it. Unless you're, like, what's your problem? Are you scared of having a little bit of fun, of having a little sing-song? But also, people can, like, look up what the movie is based on as well. Like, I'm like, if you looked up Mean Girls and, like, looked at, I'm sure there's a little synopsis that's, like, based on the Broadway musical, which is based off of the movie, like, you could get a little bit of an idea, but, like, don't be a little bitch about it. Like, just enjoy it.
It's a shockingly sad turn of events that most moviegoers nowadays do not have media literacy, and the internet has somehow made it worse. I do want to point out, I haven't seen all of Wonka yet. I've seen snippets of the movie itself, because I've been busy. I don't have time to go to the movies at the moment. The music in it is really good. There's some pretty catchy shit in there.
Okay, come on now. I want to see Timothée Chalamet singing. Like, I'm kind of here for it. Yeah,
he's actually quite on pitch and is able to tell a story and be expressive through music. It's very cool. And I wish they had shown some of that in the trailers, because then I'd be far more inclined to make time to go see it. Otherwise, it's just like, cool, it's a Wonka prequel from the Paddington guy.
See, the reason that I haven't watched Wonka is because of Timothée Chalamet Bing Bong, because I feel a bit uncomfortable. Honestly, I feel a little bit uncomfortable. The trailers that I've seen and the little clips that I've seen, he makes me feel a little uncomfortable in that role. Like, I will watch it eventually, but I was like, I'm not going to go out of my way to the cinemas to watch it, because I've enjoyed seeing him in what I have seen him in, especially things like Dune, I loved him in. But I don't know why seeing Timothée Chalamet Bing Bong sing, I was like,
how many more ways can you mutilate that man's name?
I've done it the same way both times, and it's how Florence Pugh says it, so
I would ask then, Tori, would you be more inclined to see it and possibly more comfortable with it if you had seen it was a musical in the trailers?
Honestly, it actually might have put me off more.
Oh!
Okay.
Only because
all right, we've stumbled onto something here.
I've seen one clip, or like one or two clips, of him singing, and like, not that he doesn't sound good, I think he sounds actually surprisingly quite nice, and quite smooth as well, which I wasn't expecting. It's just him singing for me. I think I've seen him in so many like more serious roles that seeing him sing, it kind of feels like a parody.
If we're on the topic of people in movie musicals who probably you wouldn't expect to see in movie musicals, let's talk about the OG of this one. Let's talk about the big dog, the top cat. Let's talk Les Mis.
Oh!
That wasn't even on my radar for this.
You'll remember Russell Crowe. You'll remember bloody old mate Helena Bonham Carter, Sacha Baron Cohen. Like, all of these actors who you wouldn't expect to see in a movie musical suddenly rocking up and taking the keys down.
This is devil's advocate. Les Mis is actually one of my favorite movie musicals. And I know. But that's actually the first time I saw Les Mis was actually as a movie musical when I was younger. I didn't see the musical before that. And I don't actually think Russell Crowe is that bad in this. I don't think any of them are. I feel like they're more acting towards the characters, and yes, it's not vocally perfect, it's not what you want to hear vocally, but at the end of the day, I'm still like, I don't know, I don't think it was that bad. I think his acting was pretty good in it, but necessarily maybe the singing didn't give you everything you had hoped for.
I'll say that point.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that they're all really phenomenal actors.
Yeah.
And that is what made such a big, I think, impact in it. And also with them being film, like, it's that hard thing, film versus theater. The acting styles are, you might not realize it from an outside point of view, but they're entirely different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it takes a lot of nuance to be able to convert a stage show into a movie musical well, and I think that all of those actors did it with such genuine emotion, with such nuance. And yeah, I agree, the vocals could be stronger. But I think with what they did really well. The only gripe I ever have with Les Mis is the length of it. But obviously it's hard because you don't necessarily, it's like picking what would you cut if you were to cut anything from a musical.
I mean, I personally know what I would cut, which brings forth another point. You'll remember how Valjean, for some reason, is singing a song to Baby Cosette while they're in a carriage and traveling that never shows up in the original stage production? Yeah, this is a point that movie musicals, specifically adaptations of Broadway shows, will frequently have in them. The songwriters of the source material will always write a new song for an adaptation of a Broadway show, so they can be in contention for the best Oscar, best songwriting Oscar.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Interesting.
Yeah, well,
I didn't think it was for that reason at all.
When was the last time you saw an adaptation of a Broadway show and they just had a random new song in there?
I'll talk on it, but Dear Evan Hansen.
Yeah, there you go. My biggest gripe is the live-action Beauty and the Beast.
Which one was the new one in that one?
The Beast's song, which replaced If I Can't Love Her, which is Alan Menken's greatest song.
No, that was sad. That was sad.
So I've never seen the live-action Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, you're not missing much. And that's me as an Emma Watson stan.
I didn't mind it. It wasn't the best. I love Beauty and the Beast, but I just can't necessarily, like, if I'm going to go watch Beauty and the Beast, I'm going to go watch the animation versus the live action.
Mm. I agree. I don't care how many celebrities you turn into furniture. I don't care that Ewan McGregor's a candlestick. I don't care that Ian McKellen's a clock. Give me cartoons and give me back If I Can't Love Her.
The only way I'm able to watch them is if I look at them as a completely different product, like something that's entirely different. That's what I did with Mulan, because I love the animated Mulan, and I, when they did the live action, I was just like, it's its own thing entirely. And to be fair, it kind of was created that way. It was created in a different, totally different way, much more based around the original mythology. But that's not necessarily the point. On the point though of adding new songs, I agree that sometimes you're like, for what? However, I did watch Dear Evan Hansen, and I know nobody else here has watched Dear Evan Hansen. As in, when I say nobody else, I mean the three of us here.
When you say you watched Dear Evan Hansen, you have torn this movie apart. I'm looking at the notes here. It is...
Okay, for those playing at home, I tore it apart.
It's incredible. Tori has pulled thread after thread after thread and commented on every facet of this film. It is stunning work.
So, okay, a few things that I think are important to note. I'll talk about one of the big things in a second, but in terms of song, Alana gets her own song in the movie musical adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
And I fucking loved it. Mm-hmm. I feel like Alana got to actually have a character in the movie that wasn't... She had so much more depth. I feel like in the musical, I honestly barely remember her, other than I feel like she used what happened as, you know, you kind of realize everybody is using what happened to Connor kind of a little bit for their own benefit, some more than others. But in the musical, it feels like Alana just uses it to start another club. And then when it goes to shit, she blames Evan. Whereas in this, it's because she's dealing with her own mental health issues. It's called The Anonymous Ones. And it is so beautiful, and especially when you see it in the movie, you so much about, like, I actually cared about this character, and when shit started to hit the fan, the person who I felt worse for was her, because she goes to Evan and is like, spoiler alert if you haven't seen it, if you plan on watching it, but she's like, what are you on? And he's like, what the fuck? And she's like, well, I'm on Lexapro. Because all you see is this very put-together person who is the president of all these clubs. And then she's like, well, I'm on Lexapro. This is what I'm dealing with. And she sings Anonymous Ones, which is all about hiding these issues that you have because it's not who you're, like, meant to be. At least that's how I took it. Like, it's not who you're portrayed to be. I loved it. And when everything goes down, it hurts so much more for Alana. Mm-hmm. That being said, they did cut Anybody Have a Map and Good For You, which broke my heart.
Anybody Have a Map actually makes the mother characters characters.
Yes.
They absolutely, in no way, shape or form, should have cast Ben Platt. He is a 30-year-old person around 16-year-olds. Well, people at least look 16. At moments, I won't lie, there are a couple of shots where he looks very small and meek and you could get away with it. 95% of the time, if you focus on that person's face for too long, it's game over. And someone please throw that god-awful wig in a blender. It is horrendous.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I will say I've never been the biggest fan of Ben Platt's acting on stage or off stage. But speaking as a currently 32-year-old playing a 17-year-old, I will speak in his defense on that. If you can pull it off and if you do look the part, by all means, go for it. Yeah, don't look the part, Benji. Go home.
I think it's also different with movies, like, versus, like, stage. Like, on stage, we all get away with a lot.
Apparently, the camera adds 10 years.
Honestly, sometimes I go, wow, I can play the mom now, you know? I'm 25, but maybe I am 35. Who knows? But on stage, it's like you go from playing like a 17-year-old to, you know, as someone who's older. Whereas in a movie sense, you can't really get away with that. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the... And also when you're that famous, I think the thing is, I will say I am a Ben Platt stan. I do love Ben Platt. I know Gareth might disagree, and that's fine. But I do think because he's so in the public's eye, people couldn't really get past it. It's not like he's a new face and no one knew who he was. And so they weren't going, how old is he? Like, people know that he's played that role a long time ago, and he's now a very different age. And he got away with it because... it's a musical. You're a far distance away. There's heights involved. There's a really strategic casting involved. So yeah, it is unfortunate that the movie musical didn't do as well, because for a lot of people who can't afford to go and see Dear Evan Hansen on the stage, that's a really amazing opportunity to go and watch the movie.
In my opinion, I would recommend watching it because I think that it is shot beautifully. I feel like all of the other character choices outside of Evan are done so, so well. The, you know, there's some little like orchestration fun moments that I really enjoyed. The atmosphere that they create in some of the opening scenes, like the overwhelmingness for Evan, I think was done really well. Overall, I gave it like a 6 out of 10. My main gripe is Ben Platt. Also, Jared. I was not a fan of the actor for Jared.
I feel like Tori's really up on the Dear Evan Hansen soapbox today. I love it.
No, I love it.
Sorry, it's because I watched it yesterday.
It makes me really happy. Like, watching you just go to town on something is one of the highlights of these deep dives.
This is going to turn into a Dear Evan Hansen deep dive. Come on now.
I will stop talking about Dear Evan Hansen in a second, it. I promise.
You know what's so funny? Rodney, the newly fiancé, he loves this film. Like, he loves Dear Evan Hansen.
Really?
He watched it and he was like, you need to watch this film. Like, it's the best. And I'm like, no, but I've heard it's bad. And he tried to convince me for months to watch this film. Every date night, he'd be like, are we watching Dear Evan Hansen? And I was like, no, we're not. And then it disappeared off Netflix. And then I was really sad that I didn't get to watch it before. And I'm like, no, I'm not paying for it now. Netflix, just bring it back.
You're not getting my money, Platt. We're getting the vibe of movie musicals. Les Mis cast some strong screen actors who couldn't necessarily lift the musical weights. And then we have, on the other end of the spectrum, Dear Evan Hansen, who truthfully cast some theatre actors who overacted the shit and chewed the scenery so hard and were too old for the role. So yeah, it's a fun discussion. Where do they meet? Where is the twain?
Yeah, where is the middle ground? And I think that's just like casting someone not based on... like, based on talent alone and whether or not they fit the role. I think it's either you're a big name, but you're a really good film actor, so let's cast you. Or it's like, you're a really great musical theatre performer, but you're not quite fitting this role, but you'll be good because, like, you're well-known in that sphere. Actually, just audition and cast the best person for the role, whether it's the singing, whether it's the acting, and they've got to be able to match all of those things instead of the name. Mm-hmm. I think that's where it can come sometimes get muddy. And I know you need the names, but not always in the role that's going to, like, carry the entire show.
Yes, and that is why I'm excited for Wicked. Number one, Cynthia Erivo as Elphaba.
Yes.
Number two, Jonathan Bailey as Fiero is going to be the most electric thing on the screen. There was a viral clip going around a few years ago of him singing If I Didn't Believe in You from the last 5 years. The subtlety of his choices and storytelling have never made me more excited to see a movie musical in my life.
And I'm so glad that leaked, because I feel like people wouldn't have appreciated him as much.
A lot of people were saying that, oh, why did you cast Mr. Bridgerton? Why did you get Anthony Bridgerton just to do that? Oh, we get it. He's hot. Why are you ruining? Oh, no, he can sing. Oh, no, he's got chops. Oh, no.
And that's, like, perfect, like, example. And I'm excited to see it. Obviously, I can't comment on it yet. But it seems like they've actually cast someone who's really good for the role, because they could have gone for someone way more famous than him. Like, yes, he's, like... he's well known at the moment, but I think he probably would have gotten that role on merit, because Wicked is so big. They are kind of casting on merit rather than stunt casting, and it will definitely be the stunt casting of other roles that they do. I mean, obviously you've got Ariana Grande as Glinda, but we're yet to see how, but she's also very talented and we're yet to see her performance on that screen, which is what people are really excited to see. Like, is this stunt casting or is this actually casting people because they're right for the role?
Sometimes you can have both when you look at the Mean Girls casting. Now, not all the Mean Girls casting. There's one particular role in Mean Girls that I'm not going to even talk about. But the casting of Renee Rapp and Auli E, they were both, they carried that whole
so good
movie.
Oh, yeah, electric.
They were phenomenal. So I think sometimes you can have both name and talent.
Yeah.
But it is definitely like they have to be right for the role. And I do think that both Renee Rapp and Auli E were right for that role.
I agree.
I totally agree. Well, I guess on that note, we're going to move into a little bit of a game. So game today, I have taken on the role of Game Master. And I have just...
I get a break.
Yes, Gareth gets a break because Gareth has had a big day, is slaying it on the big stage and still turning up for your friends. So you're absolutely killing it.
Hey, colleagues.
Sorry, I can't be your friend.
No, I'm kidding. I love you both.
So we're going to do a bit of a quiz. What I'm going to do is each of you are going to get a question each, and then I'm going to have a tiebreaker question as well. Tori, let's start you off. You're going to start.
Oh, God. I'm going to fail this so badly.
Okay.
Okay.
What 1964 movie musical is based on the play Pygmalion? Is it The Music Man? Is it Yankee Doodle Dandy? Or is it My Fair Lady?
It's My Fair Lady. I studied Pygmalion in high school.
Oh, damn. I thought I'd get you on that one.
No, because I saw a production of Pygmalion and I was like, wait a second. This is awfully familiar to me.
Where's the songs?
Yeah, where I was like...
Where's the music?
Come on, Eliza. Sing me a tune.
Why isn't she singing about lots of chocolate?
And the rain in Spain. Yes. Yes, it is My Fair Lady. Okay, Gareth. How many Von Trapp children are there in The Sound of Music? Is there 6? Is there 5? Or is there 7?
Thank you for the multiple choice that saved my ass. There's 7 of them.
There are 7. There are 7
indeed.
I haven't
watched Sound of Music since I was a child. And those who know me, that was a long time ago.
Okay, so now I'm going to do 2 that aren't multiple choice to make it harder, but the next 2 are going to be multiple choice. Okay, Tori, who voices Belle in the 1991 animated musical Beauty and the Beast? Is it Paige O'Hara? Is it Linda Larkin? Or is it Jodie Benson?
Paige O'Hara?
Yes. Big slay.
That was just, I literally, well, the O'Hara, I was like, that sounds really familiar in regards to Beauty and the Beast.
I knew it wasn't Benson.
No, because that's Ariel.
Yes.
It is.
That's Ariel.
It is.
Love her.
Oh, I love her. She's so cute when she like sings with little kids and stuff. And so cute. Okay, Gareth. True or false? The Wizard of Oz won the Oscar for Best Picture in 1939.
Ooh, if it was 39, I want to say it was false.
Yes.
Yeah,
because
I don't think it took it out that year.
It did not take out the Oscar.
I couldn't tell you what did. But I
couldn't
know
either.
For a fact it didn't get Best Picture.
It didn't. I wish I could tell you, but anyway. So now these two are going to be non-multiple choice because you guys are too good at this. Okay, Tori. Where does Regina George hook up with Shane Omen?
Oh my God, hang on, wait. Are we talking... Okay, where physically?
Physically.
Like what room?
Yes.
In the janitor's closet.
That is incorrect.
Oh, wait, hang on. Hang on. Okay, wait. Are we talking musical or movie? Because they're different.
It's from the 2024 Mean Girls. From the 2024 Mean Girls. But you can give me a name of like, it's very specific. It's like something in another room, like in a bigger room, but it's a room within that. And that's part of it.
I mean, point of contention. Tori already got an incorrect response.
Yes, it's in the projection room in the auditorium. So that is the correct answer. Okay.
That's not where they are in the movie. In the movie, they're in a janitor's closet. The fourth floor janitor's closet.
We're doing... I'm sorry, are we doing a movie episode or are we doing a movie musical episode?
That's what I'm talking about, in the movie musical.
No, in the movie musical, they are in the projection room from the 2024 musical. I just looked it up.
But that's not what it shows in the clip.
And maybe Tori did win that, but...
I'll accept it, but that...
Tori's like, I'm going to look it up right now.
Tori's going fact checker.
I will. I won't do it right now. But they're in the janitor's closet when he walks in on them. I'll be quiet now.
You are... I don't think you... No, you've lost the point.
Okay. Gareth.
Yes.
What song opens the film Chicago?
That would have to be All That Jazz, wouldn't it? Unless they changed it around in the movie version.
You are correct. It is All That Jazz. Very, very nice. Okay, well, I'm actually just going to do a tiebreaker anyway. I know that Gareth has technically won, but just for a bit of fun, this will be worth 2 points.
It's a tie maker, if anything.
It's a tie maker, just because it's going to be fun. So when you know the answer, say your name as quickly as possible, and then the first one to get in will get to answer the question.
Are we waiting until you finish the question entirely?
Yes. You have to finish until I finish the question entirely. What musical features the song If I Were a Rich Man?
Tori.
Gareth.
Tori. Oh my god, Tori got it in.
Biller on the Roof.
With this laggy ass internet, how did they get in first?
I don't know, they did.
I'm sorry, I'm looking at Tori's feed right now. There are 3 pixels that vaguely represent them. How did this happen?
Guess what? We're tied, bitch.
Oh no, that was 2 points. You took it. That you've won.
You did. You won. You won.
Hold on. I have something
evil.
For this. I was ready for my own, but I'm giving it to Tori.
You give it to Tori instead. Congratulations, Tori. You are the winner of our movie musicals quiz.
Thank you.
Probably should have been Gareth, but I'm too kind, so. And I love an underdog.
Hey, you said it was 2 points, so like it's me.
I'm fucking upsetty spaghetti over here.
I know. It's tragic. Hey, you guys did really good.
Thank you. I appreciate that very dearly. Oh god. On the heels of my disappointment, friends, do we want to dive back into a quick little conversation on movie musicals? Do you guys have a favorite? And here's something to spice it up. Do you have a favorite adaptation movie musical, like of an existing Broadway show? And do you have any favorite original?
Oh,
like think your golden era MGMs, think like you're Singing in the Rains, your Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, that sort of era.
Oh my gosh, I need a minute to think about this now.
Yeah, right. It's a toughie. I'm happy to dive into mine if you want to hear mine just for a bit of fun.
Do it.
I mean, my favorite original gotta be The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
It's absolutely marvelous. It sets a tone really nicely, and the music drives the story so hard and fast towards a beautiful climax. It's fantastic. And my favorite, like, standard movie musical, it's not an adaptation. It's a jukebox. And I mentioned it on our jukebox episode. It's Across the Universe.
Really? Is that your favorite?
It's got to be. It's all the music of the Beatles, all the design of Julie Taymor, and a really beautiful, heartbreaking love story all in the middle of it.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it makes me cry every time.
So I did have mine. I have momentarily lost it. But I don't... Oh, no, I've got it back.
Put that on a bumper sticker. I have momentarily lost it.
No, I've got it. But it's West Side Story. You know the movie musical West Side Story?
Yeah.
Was that a musical, a movie musical first?
I'm fairly certain it was a stage production first and then became a film. And the film became far more popular.
Yes. Okay, that makes sense. But yeah, I really love West Side Story. It just really, I loved it growing up. And it was a movie I watched all the time with my grandfather. So it's definitely one of those kind of older musicals that I still watch. And so I didn't really love the new adaptation of West Side Story. It just didn't really feel like it hit the same core as that original movie did, which was a little disappointing to me. But I guess on the side of that, of other musicals, I have 3. I have, like, also...
All right, greedy.
I'm really greedy, but also My Fair Lady, like, that's another one for me.
Yeah, fair.
Like, Les Mis was another one, and Chicago. I've got to say, I way prefer Chicago as a movie musical than a stage show, but that's just my personal piece
That's
of piece.
That's a huge call to make.
It's a huge statement. I haven't seen it live as a musical, but I've seen a lot, like I've watched it online, and I don't love it as much as the movie. And I know that that's like very controversial, and I think both have their place. They're just very different things. I just think they're really different from each other, and they're not like the set, everything, the way that it's presented, completely different things. And I think that Chicago does very well in its element as a movie musical, but it does very well as a stage show. They're just very different.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's mine. Sorry, I did like 5 or 6.
I think you only did 3.
4.
4.
Oh, well.
At least one of us can count.
Well, so I think my favorite movie musical that was then adapted into a musical, I think this classifies, it's what I grew up like loving, is Moulin Rouge.
Oh, nice. Yes.
Which did make for me, I was really excited when they announced that they were adapting it to a stage musical. I was really hoping for more original music. I definitely can understand the pull of continuing it as a jukebox musical, because that's technically what it's like, a jukebox movie musical. But I grew up absolutely loving that. Movie musical that was adapted.
Adaptated?
Adapted.
No. We're going with adaptated. That's where we put all the money on.
That was adapted from a show I actually love, and I still love it now, I watch it relatively frequently, is The Last 5 Years.
Oh, right. That's
Anna
a good
Kendrick
one.
And Jeremy Jordan. I love them both very dearly in that movie, and I feel like it gives it so much opportunity. Again, kind of that thing of movie musicals can give more opportunity for a little bit more detail to really see and understand the intersection timeline that they do with The Last 5 Years, which is, I think, what makes that show so special, is having, you know, Jamie starting from the beginning of the relationship and having Kathy start from the end of the relationship, that point in the middle where they get married, and then continuing on. I feel like you actually really get more opportunity to see it in the movie musical. So I personally love it. I'm sorry, I was on my Dear Evan Hansen soapbox for quite some time there. What is everyone's final thoughts, movie musicals? Do you have any that you highly recommend? Do you have any that you're like, don't touch with a 10-foot pole, aka Cats?
Cats you shouldn't touch anyway. It's a bad musical. But my baby, my dear sweet child, Phantom of the Opera, got a pretty average movie adaptation. Decided to cast Gerard Butler as the man in the mask. He didn't do a terrible job, but it's like, could have gotten anyone, really. There were many, many other people that could have filled those shoes. And also, Joel Schumacher was not the man for it. Like, not the director for it. That just didn't have the same impact, and it was a bit upsetting. Yeah, and also go watch Across the Universe.
Go watch it, guys. I think for me, like, I was looking at a lot of Disney stuff as well, and how I'm just like, don't touch those classics unless you're going to do them well. I don't know, there's something slightly off about an animation that's very whimsical, and they can do so much there, and then putting it into a movie that they kind of get restricted from. I mean, yeah, you've got other musicals like The Greatest Showman, that is a completely original movie musical, and was very hyped up in its time, and everyone was singing the songs from it, and it brings musical theatre to the main stage in such a celebrated way. So I think the movie musical definitely has its place in musical theatre. It has its place in the movie world, and it's always exciting to see musical theatre accessible, because sometimes going to see a musical is expensive, and when your parents are trying to introduce you to the art form, it is very much going to see the movie musicals. So I am very excited by all these new adaptations of movie musicals coming to the film world. And I'm excited to see how they keep evolving, and all the mistakes that past ones are making, they keep changing them and keep upgrading them and learn from them. And I'm really excited to see the resurgence of the movie musical at the moment. It's really exciting for all of us that are in that community. So yeah, there's definitely a place for it.
I think give movie musicals a chance. Don't get shitty when you go and see a movie musical, even if it's by accident. But like, enjoy it for what it is. It's camp. It's fun. It's a bit ridiculous. That's why we love it.
Yeah.
So like, don't be shitty about it. Just, like, actually sit and enjoy it.
Yeah.
This is your sign. Go and watch a movie musical this weekend. Let us know what you guys think. What is your favorite movie musical? We'd love to hear that. But I think that kind of brings us to the end of the episode. I think we might have to revisit movie musicals. There's a lot more to discuss.
Yeah. I agree. Maybe a part two sometime in the future.
I saw Into the Woods on there and I was like...
I know, we didn't even get to Into the Woods.
We didn't touch Into the Woods. Yeah. And I did not get on my Phantom soapbox this whole episode. You should be thanking me.
Well, because you've already had two bloody episodes on Phantom, sir.
I will never stop.
But thank you guys so much. Thank you, Gareth, for coming on. How amazing. You're now doing Grease and everyone should go and watch it in Sydney. That's where you're heading next. So when are you playing Grease in Sydney?
We start on March 24th and then we play through for a while there.
Beautiful. Well, anyone listening, go and catch Gareth at Grease. Absolutely smash it. But all right, until next time, stay happy, healthy, and safe, and we'll see you then. Bye!
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.